Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
As we begin this morning, we have two prayer requests. One is our mom, and she's not feeling well at all. And also, Patsy Beneziak is in the hospital due to some heart issues. So let's continue to pray for Patsy and also pray for our mom. And we're excited to be here this morning. I know it's a rainy day and some couldn't make it out, but we're excited to be here this morning. So I'll just begin with something kind of interesting, kind of on a funny note, because we're family. I was thinking about this morning, how, you know, we seem like we're all put together, everything's going fine, everything's going well. So this morning, I got up and I ironed a pair of pants in my closet, and I thought, these are really nice, soft pants, and then I come to figure out that they're possibly my pajama pants. So life is good. God is good. And, you know, sometimes they look kind of nice. They look like regular pants. I ironed them. These are like pajama pants. But they're great. You know, they feel comfortable. So I'm, God is just good. He is just good. Life is good. And, you know, sometimes that is the way it is. We seem like we're all put together and we have issues on the inside, things that, you know, that we need God's help with. And that's why we came this morning. And we're actually continuing on part two of Joseph's life, the dreamer, and talking about the dreams again. I'm also, one more announcement before I forget. At 11 a.m. on this Wednesday, any woman who wants to meet us, we're having a little informal ladies get together at Portillo's at 11 a.m. on Wednesday. Everybody just come and join Sandra and I for lunch on Wednesday.
Which Portillo's?
On Harlem.
The one on Harlem and Archer. And wear your pajamas. It's a woman's pajamas, Portillo's. Portillo pajama something. No, it needs to be another P. So, yes, just to point out that whenever we do have these cleaning days, it I always think of it as a spiritual thing, that we're the house of the Lord, that we need to improve on things and just find things. You know, when you own a house, there's always something. And I just wanted to say, all the stuff that got done, we have some of our men, like Mark and Israel, have some, and John, they have some abilities. They were doing electrical boxes yesterday, and we got those outside lights working, which that's really nice. And it's really cool because they're on timers. No, they're on light sensors. So when it's dark, they automatically come on. You don't got to flip a switch, and then it goes off in the daytime, that's really cool. And then the lights, Gio was doing a high wire act yesterday. And he climbed up to every single one of these lights, and we cleaned them. I mean, it was thank you so much, but it was, so it's little things like that. So let's talk about our bodies as being the temple of God and looking for little things, because, you know, we don't always just want to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I don't need any changes. You know, we've got to maintain ourselves and our lifestyle. I was thinking about the day of rest, something that had happened, a conversation I'd had with Dave Casey's, and then yesterday with Barney and some of the men. I was thinking about God's day of rest and how on the seventh day he rested, and how there's so many scriptures that talk about resting in the Lord. And I was thinking, you can't rest if you're afraid, can you? Hey, Barney just came in. I'm just talking about you. You didn't do anything. We were saying thanks for all the great help that all the men did yesterday, and we were acknowledging all the things that you had helped with also. So thank you, Barney, and we're praying for Patsy, and We talked about her. But anyway, we're talking about rest. Me and Barney and Pitt and Dave were talking about rest because there's so much in the Bible about it. And did you know that in Psalm 23, when it said that the sheep lay down and rest, you know, that sheep never rest if they're being bothered or tormented, like if there's flies all around them. So how do you get the flies away so that sheep can lay down? You anoint their head with oil. And that's the shepherd puts the oil. It stops the flies. Now you see the Psalm 23. You're laying down. There's streams of water. But a sheep will never lay down at all if there's predators or if they're scared. So worry is not rest, right? So if you're worried, that means you're not resting. That means that. So the Dave story was this. I know how hard Dave works. Pam tells me, Mom tells me. I know he's a truck driver. I know all he does for the men's group, and he's cutting grass and other people's grass, and he's just really working hard. But there is no one that I know that can rest and relax like Dave. So the man works hard, but if you wanted an expert in relaxation, it's Dave Casey's. Because, like, And I know this is just normal stuff, but there's a spiritual principle that I think is important. So I went over the other day to Dave's, and I knew he'd been working hard. But he was just sitting there with a cup of coffee, just staring at the sky with his dog, you know, just sitting there. And I've seen him do this, and I was talking to him. He goes, oh, I could just sit here for hours and relax. Now, here's the contrast. I want you to, because that's important, that every person that in your day you can disconnect and quit thinking, quit worrying, quit planning, quit being having input, and say, I'm just going to meditate on the Lord. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to communicate. I'm going to love God. I'm going to hear from God. God, that's the ability to do that. I saw internet articles that this is like looking in a mirror, folks. And as St. Vincent said, people turn the TV on because it looks just like a window. And the statistic was the number of hours, this is stepping on everyone's toes, this is dropping an anvil on all of our toes. The number of hours that the average American spends in front of screens. Now, sometimes I'll break it down in front of phones, but it really should be screens and TVs and any of that, social media. So it got insane during the pandemic. The statistics showed that, and by the way, this is American males. All the females are off the hook. The study showed that there were American males. Are you ready for this? 18 hours a day during the pandemic. This is a lot of people that just live their life with input. Now it's gone down. But there are still many, and this is still talking American males, that a large section of them are 8 hours per day, and there's another jump up where there's people spending 11 to 12 hours a day just getting input, just getting input, just getting input, just getting input. See what I'm saying? That we take all of our free time, and it's like, what is the world saying? What's the news? What's the entertainment? It doesn't matter what the category is. Category is sports, and it's 24 hours a day. Category is news, and it's 24 hours a day. You want to hear about Hunter Biden's laptop 24 hours a day? You can hear about it. You can spend all your time with input, 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 and lose the Dave Casey's lesson to unplug, to rest in the Lord. Folks, this is important, that we look in the mirror and say, you know what? I've got to connect with God and quit connecting with everything else. So that's my little thing for the day.
Yes. And sheep also are continually looking around for their shepherd. They will not rest if they don't see the shepherd nearby. Their eyes go to and from looking. That in the presence of the Lord, there is rest. There is rest to be found. Today we're continuing actually on dreams. And this is really powerful because of the life of Joseph. He's a type of Christ. But we have been given two things by God, a dream and a destiny. And some people say, well, what does destiny even mean? Do you know that actually the generic dictionary, Wikipedia definition of a destiny is something predetermined by God? They actually have it in there, predetermined by God. You have a destiny predetermined by God, and He determined that before you were even born. You can stop and hinder your destiny from coming to pass, but it has been predetermined by God that there is a specific purpose for you. So everyone has a dream, but I want to say a couple things about dream. First of all, any valid dream comes from the one true and living God, right? It's something that's in your heart. It burns in your heart. And the one who has a destiny and one who gave you the dream, let me say this, is the only one who can make that dream come to pass. Others can't make it come. You can't kick doors down. If the dream comes true, it's because God made it come true. The one who gave it has to make it come true. And here's a way to stop your dream. If I refuse to honor and obey God, all I'm going to have is an unfulfilled dream and a destiny that was never met. Joseph was 17 when God gave the dream. Now, you have to pass some tests for the dream to come true, which we're not really going to talk about a lot today. But I do see that there was, that God, when Joseph told the brothers the dream, he told his brothers and his father his dream, I do see that God clearly used that. Because they needed to know the dream. But watch this, and I heard this recently, and I stand by this. The reality is we should not necessarily tell everyone our God dreams. They're going to put you down. They're going to mock you. They're going to be jealous of you, envious of you. Let me tell you what really Joseph should have done, but none of us are perfect. He should have told someone, guess who? The father. You talk to the Father about your dream. You go to your Heavenly Father. You don't put the dream out there for all those you already know hate you. Can God use that? Yes, He can. So we need to be careful to steward the dream that God has given us, just like we steward finances, just like we steward our time. Be careful. Mary pondered those things in her heart. She didn't take out a news in the newspaper, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She pondered those things in her heart. God has a dream for you. I want to say that the dream is better than any dream you have for you, no matter what that dream may be. And God's destiny for you is greater than what you think or can imagine. God told Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, it says, I chose you to speak. And by the way, God will tell you the dream. We're going to talk about that real quickly here in a few minutes. God will tell you what the dream is that he has given you. I can prove it in scripture. He told Jeremiah, for one, I have called you to be a mouthpiece to the nations. He told him what the dream was. And the Bible says, no eye has seen nor ear hath heard what kind of plans and dreams I have for you. But here's the question that we have to talk about. How can I know, how can you know the dream that God has for your life? There's an answer for that, how you can know. You know the dream by getting to know the one who gave you the dream. If you want to know what God has for your life plan, you first need to be friends of God. Here's what Numbers says. Then God said, hear my words, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision or a dream. I will speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in my house. Did you catch this? He is faithful in my house. I speak to him face to face, even clearly. God will, if you become a friend of God and get to know God in intimate relationship, he's going to tell you things, because here's why. Friends share secrets. They talk about things that are just among them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. God has a dream for you and he will tell you what it is.
When I was in the Air Force, one of my first jobs is I was repairing electrical things. There was this phone system. It was an encrypted phone system. And at one point in time, I was called in to look at some equipment, and there was a room full of officers, and there happened to be a general in this room. And he had a phone. It was supposed to be a crypto secure phone, like a Batman phone. I mean, you know, if a phone came in on that line, it's secure. And so he had that phone propped up there, but we hadn't connected the phones yet. So I knew that. I knew it was just the phone was there, but it wasn't hooked up. So I was troubleshooting these phones, and I grabbed his phone to grab a battery or something out of it to connect the other phone. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm connecting this other phone. He goes, what if I get a phone call? He goes, I need this phone. He goes, this is important. And I said, sir, your phone, he'd been sitting in front of his phone for days waiting for a call. I said, your phone isn't connected. It's not on. I said, you're waiting for a call that will never come. So spiritually, I wonder if we think we're connected to God, but we're not connected. But here's the other beautiful thing. Most of my trouble calls were for things that were connected, and people said it's not working. Usually when it's not working, it's because the ONOFF switch is in the OFF position. Honestly, anyone that does any troubleshooting of anything, whether it's in, there's so many times things weren't on. They're just a switch that was in the wrong position. So when Christians say, I'm not hearing from God, I'm telling you, he's broadcasting. When Christians said God had a dream for Joseph, and Martin Luther King said he had a dream, but and Pam had a dream, but how come I don't have a dream? Well, you do. I believe that God has a dream for every person. And we're going to show this in Scripture. In the book of Joel, it says, I will pour out my spirit on the chosen few, right? No, upon who? All flesh. That's the men, that's the women, that's the children, it's the young, it's the old. God had dreams for old people all the time in the Bible. I won't give you all the examples, but Moses and Joseph and who?
Daniel.
Daniel, of course. And God used older people all the time in the Bible. And so we read in the book of Acts, too, that he quotes the book of Joel, that God would pour out his spirit upon all people, and he quotes the prophecy, said that the old men would dream dreams, and hopefully someday I'll get old and I'll dream those dreams. You can always push that scripture off, that's not me. But thank God, whether you are 50 or 60 or 70, your dream can come true. There was a news story on the TV about a guy's dream that had come true. He had a high school sweetheart that he really was in love with, but he didn't really connect with her in high school. And now in his 70s, they filmed this in an airport, and he proposed to her in his 70s, and she said yes. It's never too late for a dream. Actually, didn't Uncle, how old was Uncle Pete when he proposed?
90.
And the fact that we're talking about marriage proposals, that's exactly what is happening with us and God, that we belong to God. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. So before I pass this on, I'll just say one thing, that it wasn't just that the children of Israel knew about God. It's not about going to Bible school. They got to know, and that's what you're supposed to know, God. And let me show you how this worked with the leadership. That's Old Testament leadership, because there's no more leadership. It's not like God's going to speak through the pastors and not you. Absolutely not. You are absolutely as qualified as any pastor, any minister. You are as qualified as anybody. Don't use that as an excuse at all, and pastors shouldn't use that to think that there's something special. But in the Old Testament time, Moses was the leader, and he had an apprentice that Joshua would someday take over. And the Bible, now this is before there was any temples built, that Solomon built a temple for God. This is even before Moses built the tabernacle that we've talked about before. It was a tent. You go, well, was it a real fancy? No, it was a tent. It was Moses' tent, and they called it, and I didn't realize this when I was younger, because they used to have tent meetings, right? We go, we're going to go to the tent meeting, and the churches would, they still do that in Missouri and stuff. I've been to a few tent meetings. It's great. But that tent meeting came from the Old Testament, the tent of meeting, that Moses would meet privately, talk privately with God. Come on. You're going to have a private meeting. And it wasn't in a big building. It wasn't in a fancy place. It was in a small tent. Just think of a pup tent. Think you're going camping, you got this small tent. It's Moses and God and Joshua. That's how small this tent was. And the Bible said that when Moses would leave the tent, that Joshua would stay behind. He loved the presence of God so much. That's resting in God.
You know, I think that our dreams are more important than we think, especially dreams that God gives us. You know, when I was younger, I did not know that God was specifically calling me into ministry. It became clearer and clearer as the years went by, and it was as I began to serve God that he began to reveal some things to me. But one of the things that was interesting in my life to me, and I was thinking about this the other day and even preparing this, as I was a very young girl in my teens, I was always in trouble, and I was always grounded. But the rule was you could go to church, school and church, so that, you know, my outings were basically church. And we didn't have Sunday night service, so my dad would go attend other churches. He'd go out to Dalton. He'd go here and there. And I would go with him. I would go with him, and we began to discuss the things of the Lord. And I didn't even know it at the time. I mean, I was not a good person. I was not a good child or a good teenager, but my dad was just pouring into my life. He kept pouring into me just over and over. He told me the worst hurts of his life. He told me what God was doing in his life. He told me what God would do in my life. One night in a church service, ironically, we were sitting on the front row with the pastor, and they said, please, Pastor Bonner and your wife, please stand. I'm like, I'm not standing. I'm not standing. I'm not standing. He says, stand up. Go ahead and stand up. I'm like, oh my goodness. But I had an initiation into church life, into the funny side, into the difficult things. And years later, when Pastor Ken came to me and said, you know, he wanted me to be his co-pastor and associate pastor, I kind of would prefer to be a secretary, but that wasn't God's plan. And so we were in the church basement after my ordination, which I thought was just kind of going to be a little mini thing, you know, hey, whatever. But when I went in the church basement, Dave Mahowski, Dan's father, had the biggest cake that I've ever seen. I still have a picture, and it said, congratulations to Pastor Pam. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, I have called you, I have set you apart, I have chosen you. God will reveal himself and make the dream clear to you, where even you will know it, what you're called to do. And it takes, you know, and I realize now that God had been doing that for a very long time, even when I wasn't aware of it. And then I realized even further that that was before I was born. The only picture that I can find of me as an infant is where my mother, my dad was working, my mother was standing at the front of the church with me and our pastors being dedicated to the Lord. And so I know that God has plans for each of us. But here's how to know that your dream is from God. It involves God in the dream. It's something that involves God to preach, to teach, to love people, to go on the mission field, to sing for the Lord, to play for the Lord. There are so many things to teach children. It all involves God, or it's not from the Lord. And in order for our dream to come true, as I said, we have to be connected to God. We have to be a friend of God. We have to get to know the one who gave the dream. I read something very interesting the other day, and I actually posted this on my Facebook. It was a mother who was probably in her 70s, 80s, and she was saying, I don't know at what time I became invaluable, or I became someone who just was like useless. My children don't come around. I'm still a real person. And she was telling people, don't ignore one phone call from your mom, because when she's gone, that's the one phone call. You're going to wish you had one more. You're going to always wish you had one more, but you did, and you didn't take it. And I started applying that to my life and said, how about when God's calling? God is calling each and every one of us. The time may come when I just push him off. You know, God's trying to speak to me, but I'm not listening because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that mess. And so let me tell you, take the call from God. God is calling you. Don't push him off. And God has given each of us special gifts and talents and abilities. And you know, our destiny is not always what we think. And this is a very sad story, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I seen this also because, you know, we were remembering 9/11 recently on 9/11. And it was very interesting. It was a story of a man who was a believer, and he was trapped above where the plane cut through the South Tower. It cut through the South Tower, and it took a minute to fall, and the building was crumbling. He stood up on his desk, and he said, everybody, do you know Jesus? He said, I am going to heaven today. We're going. We're leaving here. I'm going to heaven. Who wants to go with me? And people received Christ. There's recording of it. I mean, that was a destiny that he didn't know. Some things are not revealed, but they're revealed at the time. When he got to see Jesus, like, I know what I was put on this earth to do. I led people right as they were going into eternity. How awesome is that? And so the dream God has for you is to partner with you. And so one of the things that I want to say to you, because we all have dreams, because the enemy is faithful to give us dreams too. Hey, you know, Frida, you could be a movie star. You got the looks, you got the talent, you know, you could be a movie star. It's not likely a God dream. And if it was a God dream and he could use you in that way, he would let you know, he would notify you. Do you know God knows your address, just like I say about winning the lotto? He knows your phone number, he knows how to reach you and talk to you, and he knows your address. But I would like to say to you, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but just to let you know, Hollywood's not going to call. They're not going to call. They would have called already. So we need to focus on, God, what are you telling me to do? What are you telling me to do? And if you don't know what the dream is yet, keep being faithful to God. Please keep being faithful. Please keep loving your family. You will regret it when you don't, not taking that phone call, not loving that person.
All ministry that we're called to is humble ministry. God hadn't called us to start stars and things like that. I love that story that Billy Graham's daughters was at a youth camp, and the counselors needed people to clean the latrines, and they thought, well, we'll ask people, but they thought, well, Billy Graham's daughters they were the ones that volunteered. They said, we'll clean the latrines. There's no such thing as being promoted to the to where we don't have that kind of ministry where we're not called to serve. I appreciate Pam's story about being called to ministry. Paul said of himself, he said, I was not appointed by man. There was no committee that said, we're hiring Paul. Paul says, God called me. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? And none of us are off the hook. You are all called. You know, there are how many scriptures that say that you've been called, that you've been anointed, that you've been appointed, that you've been chosen, that you are accepted in the beloved, Colossians. So there's just so many scriptures. So we all belong in that boat, and we need that revelation that Jesus, when he was a child, now the Bible doesn't talk about this, but we just know it had to happen. He's reading the Psalms, right, as a child. Some point in his life, he read Psalm 2 that said he was the Son of God. He read that in Psalm 2, and he got a revelation that he was the Son of God. And when you read Psalm 2, you can get that same revelation, that we belong to God, that we're children of God. I've always felt called to ministry, but now that I'm older, I know what I want out of my life is I want to be the person that God has made me to be. It's not about what we do. It's about who we become and who we are at our core. Because if you can be a vessel that can be used by God, he can use you anywhere. He can use you in the palace. He can use you in the pit. He used Joseph in the pit. He used Joseph in the palace. He used Moses in the palace. He used Moses in the pit. So, or in poverty. So, God can use us at any time. So, the question is, what is the dream God has for you? And if you don't know, like, what you're supposed to do, that's not as important as who you're supposed to be. To have that dream that I don't know what God's going to do. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. All we know is we're going to serve God. And so whatever they did, they just served God. Same thing with Daniel. Same thing with lion's dens. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're just going to serve God. Proverbs 29:18, when there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So to have a vision of who you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be honest, how you're supposed to honor God with your talk, with your language, with your thoughts, with how you treat others, with your time. Tithe your time. Tithe your time. Give more than 10%. Don't become unaware of God. Don't forget God. Don't have 4 hours go by and you go, oh, I forgot about God. I was so busy building this thing, I forgot about God. Remind yourself, walk with God every single day. Boy, I'm jealous of that scripture that Moses met with God in the tent of meeting. But I can't be jealous of that scripture because here's the thing. I could have been jealous if I had been in that time period. How come Moses gets to go in? I don't. Right? That's not fair. And it wasn't fair. So when Jesus died on the cross, something ripped in half. What was it? The veil that separated God from man. And the Bible says, come boldly. We are invited in. There's no more, we have no more excuses why we can't be in the tent of meeting.
Do you know what Joseph's dream was really about? Since he represents Christ, it was really about how much Jesus loves us. Because in the dream, remember I said last week, we didn't represent Joseph. Joseph represented Jesus. We were the brothers in the dream. And when the brothers came to bow before Joseph, we always think, oh, there they are. They're repenting before Joseph. No, they weren't. They were not repenting. They didn't even know who Joseph was. They were coming for food. They came out of desperation. That's why they were bowing, because they had a need. And if Joseph had not been a faithful Yeshua, a faithful Christ to them, the dream, and I want to say this, if you tell me, well, this is my dream, I'm going to tell you, it's not your dream. It's God's dream. It's God's dream for you. Do you see the difference? It's not my dream for me. It's God's dream for me. And therefore, I must steward the things of God when he gives me a dream. And the dream was not about how they were awful people. It was about how much Jesus loved them, about how human they were. And it was about how Joseph could help them and heal them. And maybe, you know, sometimes we have these dreams where, right, Ken, where we just like, hey, you know, I hope that all these enemies, someday they're going to come, right? And they're going to grovel at our feet and they're going to go, I was wrong. I was awful. And you're so good. And you're so amazing. And no, your enemies are going to come because God wants you to feed them. He wants you to help them. He wants you to heal them and provide for them. But something in the dream about Joseph that the other day I was sitting at my desk and I was just literally weeping that I realized was when he revealed himself to the brothers, remember, he had everybody go out of the room. Why did he do that? Why can't all of Egypt see? These are my brothers. Let me tell you, he did that privately so that they could talk privately, to which the Bible is silent on, by the way, because that was a private conversation, and God's not a tattletale. But I want to tell you something. Here's what he did. He never, ever told the Egyptians what the brothers had did to him. Don't we always want to tell people, now these are my brothers, and this is what they did. This is what Frida did. This is what Janice did. This is what Hector did. They did wrong things. And I got to tell you, now they're here and we're going to feed them and everything. He never did that. He used such wonderful, beautiful discretion in not saying one thing that the brothers had ever harmed him. And you know how you know this, besides they did it privately? Those Egyptian leaders were so excited about the brothers. This is Joseph's family. Let's give them the best this and let's give them. They wouldn't have done that if Joseph had said, these are very bad people. We're going to have to deal with my brothers. He never said that. That's what forgiveness looks like. That's what love looks like. The Bible says if your enemy comes, you feed them. You give them. And this was God's dream for Joseph. This was God's plan for Joseph all along. And he totally, if you notice, he never brought up the pit. He never brought up what happened when he was falsely accused. None of it. He just let it go so that the dream of feeding the brothers, that's all he did. I just got to feed the brothers. Doesn't matter what has happened. I love that about Joseph. May we have the anointing of Joseph.
If you think about it, some of the biggest Hollywood movies are about the subject of revenge. Yes. You know, that someone has done wrong and they go on a killing spree and they kill all the people that did them wrong. We love a good revenge story. What I like is, and I only can watch this movie once in a while, Schindler's List, which it's a powerful reminder of what happened. But so in the movie, Schindler is talking to I think the guard, whose name was Amon, he's talking to the person in charge. And this guy was killing Jewish people for just no reason. He would just see someone walking slow and he would shoot them in the head. And he was so proud of the fact that he had this power. And Schindler was grieved by it, but kind of couldn't admit it. So Schindler told him, he said, real power is not killing people. He said, anyone can kill it. And he said, they do something wrong, they stole, they deserve to die. He said, real power is pardon. It's forgiveness. And the guard goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I can kill these people. He goes, that's the point. He said, you have the power to say, I pardon you. He goes, and Schindler told him, well, that's real power. And then in the movie, you see, when the Jewish people would do something wrong and come before him and they expected to be shot or disciplined, he said, I pardon you. And he could see him realizing that, and so he's just doing that the rest of the movie. But that's true. True ministry, you know, you think about ministry, how many people get turned off by being told they're going to hell? And you know, that doesn't save people. Angry prophecies doesn't save people. Angry messages doesn't save people. Telling people to do better doesn't save people. That's why I recommend that you keep a couple of McDonald's certificates for $5 or $10, and just hand that. If you want to reach someone, you're going to have to feed them. Feed my sheep. Don't preach to my sheep. Feed my sheep. We have to reach into people's life in that kind of meaningful way. So ministry isn't about anger. Ministry is about choosing which battles to fight. You can't fight all the battles. You can't be distracted by anything. And that's the enemy's number one tool, is to distract you and to drive you away. And boy, in the Old Testament, they were trying to rebuild those walls, and they just had enemies that just kept wanting to stir up controversy. You ever notice that when you're trying to do ministry, someone wants to get you in the middle of some sort of controversy and some sort of meeting, and that's all distractions. That's all distractions. It's like, I would like to pass on the controversies and go to the tent of meeting. I heard this story of this man that was, he was about to run a race, and someone was in the audience screaming, you stink, you can't run, you're slow. He got so mad that he ran up into the stands and confronted the person and got in a fight with the person and came in last in the race because he was up in the stands fighting while the race was happening. My dad used to tell me, this is my dad's baseball advice, but everything has spiritual applications. And this was, he said this 1,000 times to me. So he said, like this, and I was thinking, this isn't helping. But he said, keep your eye on the ball. I'd swing and miss. He goes, what do you look, you know, keep the ball. There's a ball. Look at it. But that is applicable. You're in a baseball game. There's clowns over there. There's fireworks. There's noise. People are screaming. If you're a baseball player, you better not be paying attention to the lady out in left field, because you're going to miss everything. And in the kingdom of God, focus on what is happening, the task that is before us, not being distracted by what the enemy's trying to do.
You know, that is a good word, because there are definitely people, if you have a dream, a God dream, that are going to oppose your dream. And they may be people that are even close to you, that you can't do this, I know who you are, all of this. The brothers of Joseph are a perfect example. The reason that they opposed his dream, watch this, if you're not where you are and you don't have a God dream, you're going to oppose the dreams of others. Because let me tell you something, these brothers were out of the will of God because they were not obedient to the father. In fact, when the father sent Joseph to check on them, they were not where they were supposed to be. Of course they're going to oppose your dream and they're going to come against you. And you know, these dreams, they have to involve God. You know, I have to tell you, the Bears are not going to call anyone in this building and say, will you come be our star quarterback? They're not going to call. Frida, Your dream of being a Dallas cheerleader, it's not happening. You're not a cheerleader, but you are a song leader. You are a worship leader. Tony's a worship leader. Let me tell you something. God does have a dream, and it is for you to leave. And he is calling. He's calling you to be a leader. That's why I say they're not going to call, but God is calling. You're not going to lead those kind of people in the world, but you are going to lead in the kingdom of God. You are a leader in God's kingdom. You're a youth leader. You're a worship leader. You're a leader of a men's group. You're the leader of a church group. You are a leader of your family. And so we need to understand that. And I said something last week that I want to explain a little bit. I shared with you that Dr. Martin Luther King had the dream that I have a dream, and that the dream, a dream that's given to you by God, is eternal. Watch this. The dream still of Dr. King lives on today. The dream, a God dream, will outlive the dreamer. And so the dream is still alive today, that we would all be in unity. But here's the thing. If it's not a God dream, if I dream a dream for me, I'm dreaming of being a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. When I die, that dream dies because it was about me being something. But when you have a God dream, I dream that I'm going to plant a church. I dream I'm going to build. My cousin, she was a millionaire. Happened through TBN, you know, she married into the family, da-da-da. And what she did was go all to different third world countries and build wells. They dug wells that had water for people, indigenous people that didn't have water. She was my cousin Janice. And that's what she did. She died of cancer about 6 years ago. There's still wells being built, and they're still drinking out of those same wells because the dream outlived the dreamer. That was her dream. So if you want God to use you, say, God, give me a dream that is worthy.
Okay, so it's got to be a dream that God gives you. Don't let someone else be a dreamer for you. It's your dream. Yes. There's a saying, don't let someone else be the author of your life. Don't let someone else tell you, God told me to tell you to do this. And if someone does that, if I say, I think that God wants you to do this, you should only follow that if it's a confirmation of something that God's already told you. So if a dream is from God, it will be confirmed by God, number one. Number two, it will bear witness with your heart. It should be something if it's something you never thought of, I would question the dreamer. You know, if I tell Frida, I think God wants you to move to Hawaii, and she's never thought about moving to Hawaii, she should not accept that dream. She should say, well, thank you, but no thank you. Pam said something last week, and I want to remind everyone of this. She said, this is from the Bible, that if a prophet gives a word that doesn't come to pass, it's a false prophecy. And I appreciate when people step out in faith and get things wrong. I've done that before. Where you think it's from God and you missed it. Okay, I'm not going to stop being a Christian. But when people are giving prophecies all the time that don't come to pass, don't excuse that.
Right.
And go, but they're so charismatic, and I just love the way they flow in the Spirit. They're flowing in the flesh because what they're saying is not coming to pass. And when you recognize that you're going the wrong way, you don't keep going that way.
Right.
The other thing about prophecies from God is almost always they're good news.
That's right.
And I'll say this, even when they're bad news, they're good news.
That's right.
And I'll explain why. You can't get worse news than God says you're going to die. Right, Hezekiah? God says he's done with you. You're dying. What did Hezekiah do? Turned his face to the wall, repented. God sent the prophet back. Go back in there. Tell him he's living. He's not going to die. He's getting at least another 15 years. How many examples in the Bible when God gives a bad prophecy, he says to repent? To repent, but they don't repent. And so even the bad ones are good. And even Joseph's dream. He said, well, is that a good dream? That's a good dream. He's going to be put in charge, number one. And number two, yeah, there's going to be famine. God didn't stop the famine, but he gave them a plan to stop the famine so that they weren't hungry. Now watch this. When I was a child, because I'm the same way as everyone else, you like the good revenge stories. You want to see that person guilty and thrown in jail and given the death sentence and revenge. No one has a Hollywood movie where John Wick forgives everybody. Right? John Wick, forgiveness. But when I was a child, and I'm reading this Joseph story, because I love this story. And I'm thinking, those dirty brothers, you know, and they sold him into slavery, and oh, he's in charge. Oh, those brothers are fried. You know, they are done for. And that's exactly how that story would have been written if it was a Hollywood story, right? But it touched my heart so much to see his heart. He was overwhelmed. He was crying. And like Pam said, they didn't know who he was. But he could think of that opportunity. And I'll say this to bring it home to us. You will be put in a situation just like Amon, if that was his name, where you have the ability, the right to, if it's not to kill someone, to throw them under the bus, to hurt them, to do, you've got them dead to rights. You also have the ability to put love into that situation. I believe we're all put in those situations. And how would that story have ended up if Joseph had gotten his revenge? It would have been the end of the story.
Yes, it would.
Do you know that God needed Joseph to do the right thing, that it was because through those actions that Jesus was even born? If you follow how that, it was necessary for Joseph to do what he did. And it's necessary for you and I. It may not save a kingdom, but the Bible says that we pull people out of the fire like sticks on fire. And that's the difference between saying, you deserve this, burn in hell, which is not Christian, and having a godly love to say, you don't deserve this, but that's why it's mercy and that's why we're offering it to you.
It is, we're gonna close, but I want to close with this and just spend a little bit of time in worship up here. Something very interesting happened to me this week. I had, a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing this with Sandra. I had joined a pastor's support group. Because pastors need support, the job is hard, obviously. But Pastor Ken was talking about the distractions in life that we have. From keeping us, the enemy's trying to keep you from being who you are and from the dream coming true or God using you in the kingdom of God. He's sending interference, and I saw this so clearly. In this pastor's group, it's not a support group. All they do is tear each other down. I literally wanted to throw up. I learned lots of things from the group before I exited the group. I learned that people aren't who they say they are. I learned that people aren't doing what they're just not who they claim to be. I learned that I have the best church in the entire planet. And let me tell you something. I asked myself this question. If those members of those other churches could see what their pastors are writing on that support group, they would be so wounded. These guys, these women are distracted from what God has called them to do, from the dream that God has put in their heart. Because I believe every one of them, at some point in their life, they had a cake just like I had. They ate from the same cake. And they're so distracted and so mean and so catty. Who do you think you are? You're not supposed to baptize that way. You're supposed to baptize in Jesus' name. Who do you think you are? You know, they're using foul language. They have to constantly remove comments. What? They're distracted. So we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And for our dreams to come true, what we have to do is be who we're called to be. That's all you have to do. Do I have to seek God at the altar for hours and say, what's my dream? What's my dream? No, you don't. Your dream will come to you. God will reveal your dream to you if you continue to love. I have a policy now. I got off that group. I don't want to be near mean people anymore. I hear people, they're blabbing, they're talking, they're mean. Count me out. I don't want no part of you anymore. Nothing. We want to serve Jesus with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. Let's stand and go before the Lord. God is going to put some dreams in your heart. I believe he's going to drop a seed in your heart today, a little seed. If you don't mind a pastor in pajamas praying for you this morning, I just want to pray over you. Hey, that's a good thing. I got my pajamas. I'm ready to dream. Father God, I thank you for the dreams that you have put in each and every one of our hearts. Even if they have not been revealed to our mind yet, you're planting seeds in our hearts of things to come. Father God, you know the plan before we were even born. You knew who we were going to marry. You know who we're going to marry. You know the children that we're going to have. Father God, we ask that you would give us the strength to walk away from unrighteousness. Give us courage to walk away from anyone who is mean, who is hateful, and preach the gospel, the good news, and to stay focused on what is important, and that is you, Jesus. And Father God, if the brothers come to us, if the brothers come and they have a need, and they haven't even said they're sorry, just go ahead and let's give them the food basket. Let's give them it anyway. And be the Joseph to the people of this earth, Father God. Let us represent you, Father. And we repent, Father God, of the times when we were unwilling to feed and clothe our enemies and do what we're called to do. Father God, get us back on track. We love you and we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Let's just spend a few minutes to worship and then you're dismissed.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.